The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for the gift of life, for family, for friends, for the company of the faithful gathered here this afternoon. We thank you for Matthew, who we ordain. We remember his father Jack, here in spirit. And we ask your blessing on Matt's family, and indeed on all who have helped to bring him to this day. We celebrate his call, but also the call given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Give him, give us, wisdom and courage for the journey, that we may do your work to bind up the wounds, to free the oppressed, and to sing the songs of praise. May Jesus' promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, be fulfilled now in us. Make us a joyful company of your people, so with the faithful in every place and time, we may praise and honor you, God Most High. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this afternoon comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteousness of God.
The second reading is from Ephesians. I, therefore, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up into love.
Today we gather as a Christian community to ordain Matthew Fitzgerald as a minister of Christ Church. It is a great day in Matt's life because it represents the culmination of a long process of vocational discernment, as well as many years of hard work and diligent study on his part, during which he has prepared himself for the obligations and responsibilities laid upon him this day. It is also a great occasion in the life of the church because it bears eloquent testimony to the simple but easily overlooked fact that Matt's call to ordain ministry did not occur in a vacuum, but is the result of his lifelong interaction with particular communities of faith, not least of which is this congregation. It is poignant to remember that Matt entered the life of this congregation because his father Jack had been called to be your pastor. Unfortunately, Jack's untimely death took him away from you before his ministry could yield a full harvest. But his wife Nancy and their children remained in your midst. Matt was confirmed in this church. Just as many years ago he stood before you to confess his faith and to be received into membership in this congregation, so he comes before you again today to be ordained as a minister of the gospel. This is surely a great day in the life of his family and of this congregation. It is also a great day for those many other persons and institutions that have played a decisive role in bringing Matt to this threshold. His wife, Kelly, with whom he has chosen to share his life and vocation, Yale Divinity School and United Theological Seminary, where he received his formal theological education, the soup kitchen in New Haven, Connecticut, where he worked to feed the hungry, the hospital of the University of Minnesota, where he served as a chaplain to the sick and the dying, St. Paul's United Church of Christ in the city of St. Paul, where for 2 years he learned the art of congregational leadership, and Epiphany United Church of Christ in Chicago, which has called him to be their pastor. This is a great day in Matt's life, in the life of this congregation which has nurtured him in faith for so long, and in the life of Christ Church as a whole. Because it is not only Matt's day, but the church's day as well, it behooves us to take this opportunity to reflect on the meaning of ordained ministry as an essential part of the church's common vocation. In the Reformed tradition, an ordained minister is understood to be a servant of the word. This is an apt designation that gets to the heart of the matter. A minister is one who serves the word of the gospel. If we seek to unpack this understanding of the ordained ministry, two questions present themselves for our consideration on this occasion. First, what is the word into whose service Matt is called? And second, what kind of servant is Matt called to become? And if we were to pose yet a third question, it would have to be, what does this service of the word tell us about who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ? The content of the word is indicated by the Apostle Paul in his 2 Corinthian letter when he addresses the theme of the ministry of reconciliation. He writes, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is the word the church is called to speak on Christ's behalf. Just as Christ first spoke it to us, so now we speak it to others. Be reconciled to God. That is the word you are called to serve, Matt, in your preaching and teaching. You are called to be Christ's ambassador, appealing for reconciliation with God. What does this mean? Reconciliation with God involves what we would call both religious and moral dimensions. These cannot be separated from one another in reality, but they can be distinguished conceptually for the sake of clarity regarding the content of our preaching. In its religious dimension, the gospel is a summons to acknowledge our relationship with the maker of heaven and earth. We human beings did not create ourselves. There are many persons in our culture who feel lost in the cosmos and wonder if there is any meaning to life at all. Matt, your message to such people is the reassurance that life does have meaning and purpose. It will be your task to persuade people that the proper orientation to life in this world begins with the humble recognition of our dependence upon God for our very existence itself. Moreover, it will be your mission to assist persons to find their authentic human fulfillment in the grateful reliance upon God for the good gifts in their lives. In other words, reconciliation with God in its religious dimension means the faith that trusts that this is a good and meaningful world because it is created and sustained by God. In its moral dimension, the message of reconciliation with God involves our relationships with one another. Our alienation from God expresses itself in our alienation from our fellow human beings. Your task, Matt, as Christ's ambassador, is to bring down the walls that divide persons in enmity and hatred. As the Apostle Paul says in another context, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. These were the major divisions in the ancient world that the church with its message of reconciliation sought to overcome. Today, you will have to come among us with the message that in Christ there is neither rich nor poor, neither Republican nor Democrat, neither capitalist nor communist, neither white nor black, neither straight nor gay, neither citizen nor immigrant. Be reconciled to one another. This is the moral correlate of the church's religious message of reconciliation with God. It involves the acknowledgement that each of us is a child of God, that each of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that each of us needs God's forgiveness and mercy. The moral dimension of the church's message follows of necessity from the religious dimension of its message and cannot be separated from it. For it is only when persons trust that life itself has meaning and purpose that they can work to establish an authentic human community in which all are respected and valued. Matt, if this is the word you are to serve, what kind of servant are you required to become? In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He then goes on to say that though all Christians have one calling to serve God in Jesus Christ, there is nonetheless a variety of gifts. To some, God has given gifts that they should become pastors and teachers for the work of ministry. Matt, these are the gifts that God has given you. You are called to be a pastor and a teacher in Christ's church. As a pastor and a teacher, you must see to it that you are always speaking the truth in love, as the apostle reminds the Ephesians. As a pastor, you must love the people entrusted to your care. As a teacher, you must speak the truth. In order to be a servant of the word of God's reconciliation in both its religious and its moral dimensions. You will need to remember that love and truth walk hand in hand. You must never let your love for people undermine your ability to speak the truth. And you must never let your commitment to speaking the truth undermine your love for people. This is the kind of servant you are called to be. It's not an easy task, but God has given you the gifts necessary to be a good pastor and teacher, to be a faithful servant of the word, speaking the truth in love. The content of the word into whose service Matt is called is the gospel of reconciliation. The kind of servant he is called to become is a pastor and teacher who speaks the truth of the gospel in love. But what does Matt's ordination say about who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ? After all, just as Matt did not hear his call to ministry in isolation from the communities of faith in which he was baptized, confirmed, and nurtured, so too he will not exercise his ministerial leadership in isolation from the community of faith in Chicago to which he is being called as pastor. The act of ordaining a minister as a servant of the word is not, in the final analysis, about one individual and his relationship with God. It is about all of us who have heard the gospel of reconciliation and who trust that life is filled with meaning and purpose. It concerns all of us who yearn for an end to the hatreds that divide human beings from one another. Service of the word is that to which we as a community of believers are called. It is an apt designation not only of the ordained ministry, but of the church and its mission in general. Each of us is called to be Christ's ambassador of reconciliation. Matt's role as an ordained minister is not something unique. It is representative of what the church stands for. By ordaining him to be a pastor and teacher of the word, we confess our faith before God and the world that the church has been called into being by the word of reconciliation, that it forever stands under the word of reconciliation, that it is forever nourished and renewed by the word of reconciliation. By ordaining Matt, we are sending him forth to symbolize and to represent the meaning and purpose of the church and its ministry. In this act, we are sending him forth to represent all of us as members of Christ's church. In this service of ordination, we reaffirm our faith in the truth of the gospel by making provision for the church's ministry in the future. This is indeed a great day in Matt's life. But it is also a great day in the life of this particular congregation and in the life of the church as a whole. And speaking as your erstwhile academic advisor and professor at United Seminary, it is a great day in my life as well. Matt, you have been an excellent student, a provocative conversation partner, colleague among your fellow students, and a good teacher of many, including myself. You embody all the values I believe are essential to the exercise of ordained ministry in the Reformed tradition. I am proud of you and honored to have played a modest role in your preparation for this great day in your life. I am confident that you will be God's faithful servant of the word all the days of your life. May God richly bless you and all to whom you minister on Christ's behalf. Amen.
Please be seated. We are all of us asked to share the gifts that God has given us, and certainly today we are celebrating the gifts that God has given Matt. There are a lot of folk in seminary that are there at a sacrifice. It is not an inexpensive thing to do, and many people come out of seminary with debt that is a little large for their projected income. So it is a tradition that at ordinations we offer gifts that become scholarship money for students in seminary, and these are specifically for students of the Eastern Association of the Minnesota Conference. So let me invite you to bring your monetary gifts as well as the gifts of your heart to this time of offering.
Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the light of autumn as it plays its mysterious wonder through the Robert's window and washes on us. It is this same light that graces the leaves that are so full of color. It is the same light that brought tomatoes and peaches and berries into their full ripeness, that those from this community could harvest them and steam them and cook them and place them in jars to be savored at another time.
On this day of Matt Fitzgerald's ordination, we are reminded of the jars we have canned for each of us in our own lives. We give you thanks for all that is good in Matt, all of the rich stories that he carries with him. But we also give you thanks for all that is good in each of us and all of the rich stories that we carry. Thank you, God, for the gift of harvest. And thank you for Matt and his ordination. Amen.
Sure, it's operating here. We're operative. Grace to you and peace from God, who is and was and is to come, and from Jesus the Christ, the faithful witness and the sovereign of the rulers on earth. The Eastern Association of the Minnesota Conference of the United Church of Christ greets you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the head of the church. Amen.
Pilgrim Congregational Church, United Church of Christ, after carefully considering the call to ordain ministry of Matthew Fitzgerald, respectfully requests that the Eastern Association ordain Matthew Fitzgerald to the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ, consistent with Scripture and with the tradition.
hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. I heard the voice of the Holy One saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." How wonderful it is to see a messenger coming across the mountains bringing good news, the news of peace. The messenger announces victory and says to Zion, "Your God reigns. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Holy One has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to those who are bound."
God, you have heard the promises that Matt has made. What is your will?
By the grace of God, he is worthy. Let us ordain him. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Will you support Matt in the ministry of Christ?
The laying on of hands is the symbolic act whereby the church in every age recognizes God's call to ministry in the lives of faithful women and men and asks the Holy Spirit to confer on them gifts for ordained ministry. I would call now for all those who are clergy to come forward to the laying on of hands. Also, those who have been significant in Matt's life and his nurturing into Christian ministry. I would ask all others that at the time of the laying on of hands, that you lean forward to the person in front of you and put your hand on their shoulder so that you are participating in this rite of community. Let us come forward. Matt.
eternal God, in wisdom you govern all things. And from the beginning you have chosen faithful people to serve in your ministry, calling some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip all your people for the work of ministry and for the building up the body of Christ. Now bless and sanctify by your Holy Spirit your servant Matthew Fitzgerald, whom we in your name and in obedience to your will, by prayer and with the laying on of hands, ordain to the ministry of the church, committing to him the authority to preach your word, administer the sacraments, and exercise the responsibilities of pastor and teacher. Bestow upon Matthew Fitzgerald the power of your Holy Spirit, confirming what we do. Let the same mind be in him that was also in Christ Jesus, enabling him to nourish your people in the faith of the gospel. Fill his speech with truth and his life with purity. Increase the faith of Matthew Fitzgerald in your, strengthen him in days of trouble, prosper his words and works, that your name may be glorified, your truth exalted, through Jesus Christ, our sovereign and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and by the authority of the Eastern Association of the Minnesota Conference of the United Church of Christ, I declare you to be ordained into the ministry of Jesus Christ. And no, these are not the Ten Commandments, and I'm not Moses. But we're close. You are granted ordained ministerial standing into the United Church of Christ. And in behalf of its people, we offer you the hand of Christian love.
Well, welcome, Matt, as a brother in the gospel of ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been my privilege to meet with Matt over the last couple of years as his in-care advisor, and that's been a real joy to get to know Matt and to share with him at breakfast and lunch. And I'll miss the opportunity to continue doing that on a regular basis. When Matt asked if I would be willing to be a part of this special day of celebration, I said I sure would, as long as I didn't have to prepare anything. So he asked me to do the charge. I tried to stay faithful to that not preparing part. But I did think of three things that briefly touch on as we close this time of worship on my way up here to Duluth. And they come under kind of traditional biblical concepts, gratitude, love, and faith. Under gratitude, I would want to say this, Matt, that being in the ministry is a privilege. We need to understand it that way. We have the opportunity as pastors in the church to intersect with people's lives in ways that most people are never given the opportunity, from birth to death. And I think you need to always remember the honor and the privilege that is given to us in that. We also have the privilege of speaking to a congregation of folks such as we have here Sunday in and Sunday out, and even when it seems the Holy Spirit has been on vacation a given week, say perhaps up at the North Shore, who knows, they come back with the expectation that we still might have something to say and that the Word of God will speak through us. It is a privileged place that in which we serve, and I think an attitude of gratitude in recognition of that is one that needs to shape our ministry, and I hope it shapes yours as well. Second one that I would briefly lift up is love. I think probably of all the things that's most important to bring into the ministry, into the calling that is ours, is to truly care about the people. That sometimes is challenging. I'm sure that's not true for any of the folks here. They're all wonderful people. I can tell that by the great smiles on their faces and shining dispositions. But every now and then, we are presented with someone who tests the merits of our ability to love. It's important, I believe, that we continue with that calling to love and care about the people whom we serve and with whom we minister. In that same regard, and a kind of a sub-point onto that section, I believe our calling as pastors is not only to love folks and care about folks kind of one-on-one and each and every one in the congregation, but also to develop and nurture that kind of caring and love within the congregation, within the community, both amongst the members themselves and from the members to the community without, the wider world in which we live. It's not the case that as you enter your new church that none of that will have been going on. They are no doubt already a caring people for each other and already doing ministry in the church. But our role as pastors, I believe, is among other things, to continue to nurture, support, and strengthen that kind of caring within the congregation and caring on the capacity of the on the part of the congregation for the world without. Finally, I would say a word about faith. And when I say faith, I don't mean faith as reflected when we come to worship on Sunday morning, though I certainly include that, or faith when we might have our private devotions, though I certainly include that. I mean also faith when you go to the gym, or faith when you're with your spouse, Kelly, or faith in every other aspect of your life. Faith as an integrated component of who you are as a pastor. Among the challenges that not only clergy face in this kind of fast-paced age in which we live, but is faced by all of us as Christians, is the kind of fragmentation we experience in our lives, being one part here, one part there, another part here, another part there. Faith, if it's true faith, calls us into, I believe, an integrated way of life. And as pastors, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that needs to be reflected in who we are and how we live. And so I would charge you as well to have not only faith, but an integrated faith, one that incorporates all of your life, that enables you to take time for your family, that enables you to take time for exercise, that enables you to just enjoy and rejoice in life. Because if you're not one who shares that kind of joy, the message and the joy of the gospel will always ring hollow. And for it to ring true, it needs to be reflected in your life. There's much more, of course, that one could say in a charge. I just wanted to speak to kind of three areas that strike me as particularly important. I'm mindful in giving a charge, Matt, that a charge is, as much as anything, a symbolic part of the ritual that we do here on this day of your ordination. And I believe it exists as a part of our worship because it reminds us that that our calling, the calling not only to you and to all the clergy here, but the calling to all of the folks that are gathered here and the folks in your congregation, is a calling from a God whose love is universal, whose justice is universal, who cares about all people, but a calling also that is very particular, a God who cares for each and every one here, whose voice comes to us in the nighttime and in the daytime, and whose voice comes to you, Matt, which means that, you know, as you continue now with your ministry, you don't go alone. You go with a God who cares about you, who loves you, supports you, and will sustain you always. Thanks be to God, Matt, for your life and for the ministry that you will lead. Amen.